We are in the book of James, chapter 5, and if you remember, we studied verses 1 to 11. We are going to start from verse 12. Please feel free to read.
But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And when he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins.
This chapter, remaining chapter, seems to be very simple. Each time we study the word, we learn something new. But God is a good God. Let's start reading the verse 12.
But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation.
Okay. Now here says, but above all things. When you say above all things, we learned something last week. And we learn how the rich people treat you bad. How rich people take advantage of you. How other people in higher authority, they trouble you, give you problems. And he said, chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, behold the husbandman. When you say husbandman, we're talking about the farmer. He said, behold the farmer, what he's doing.
Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain.
Okay, now he's giving an example. Look at the farmer. What farmer does, he sows the seed by faith and believes that someday I'm going to have a crop.
Amen.
I'm going to have the harvest. Just think that the farmer sowed in the field and changed his mind. Oh my, I sowed a lot. I don't think I'm going to get what I sowed. Let's go and dig it and get my seed back. What would happen? That seed will be not good for him to use it. And not only that, that seed will not bring harvest. So we have to believe in God that when we are living in this world, just like a farmer, we'll have all kinds of problems, but we have to wait patiently to get the harvest. If you look at Isaac was a godly man, and he was living among the heathens. And if you read in Genesis chapter 26, and verse 1, it says there was a famine in the land. Now you are in the heathen land, there's a famine in the land, what you do? I believe that he might have prayed, Lord, what should I do? God would have said to him, sow it, and I'm going to give you the harvest. Please read, if you have the verse there, Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, and then jump to verse 12.
And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar.
Okay, now read the verse 12.
Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him.
Amen. So see, now this man, he lives in a heathen land, famine in the land, but he sowed the seed and waited patiently. And God gave him hundredfold blessings. So this is the God's doing. So the word of God is saying, when we're living in this world, don't look quick fix. You know, like a fast food restaurant, you want everything fast. If you get everything fast, you got everything fat in the fast. So we have to learn, get a grocery, go home, takes time to cook. Certain dishes, it takes 3 to 4 hours. But what I'm trying to say, we have to have patience. And then he says, let's read, go back to James chapter 5 and just read verses 8 to 11 one more time.
Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Now, what is trying, why you have to be patient? He said, coming of the Lord is near. We do not have time to fight. We don't have time for wars. We don't have time to be angry at each other. We have very less time. When your loved one dies, that's the time you say, oh my, I wanted to do this to that person. I want to do this to that person. Now that person is not there. Why don't we wait and see that if today I'm going to die, how I'm going to behave? We have to be nice with each other. Thinking that Jesus Christ is coming.
Yes.
He's coming at the door. Okay, let's read little verse 9.
Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door.
Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned.
Amen.
And what is he saying? Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Who is he? Jesus.
Amen.
So the word of God is saying we have to be nice with one another.
Amen.
We cannot say, oh, Jesus is not coming now and let's do whatever we want to do, partying and sinning and fighting and quarreling and bitterness. He says Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
The judge is at the door.
Yes, amen.
Okay, let's read verse 10 because I'm not going to go and take more time in these scriptures, but I just wanted to concentrate on verse 12. That's why I'm coming back. Okay, go ahead. Verse 10.
Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction.
Examples of suffering, affliction, and patience. That's what we have to learn from the prophets. You learn about the prophets. They were stoned, they were killed, they were sown, and lots of problem they had, and they did it patiently. And the word of God says, take that example of their suffering, their affliction, and their patience. Verse 11.
Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the hand of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Amen. And we learned last week, Job was waiting patiently. We don't know his trouble was 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. We don't know. It's not recorded. But he was waiting patiently. He said, I'm going to see my Lord, even though I'm going to perish, I'm going to see him face to face. And God rewarded him. We learned that last week. And that's why the word of God saying, when you go through all kinds of trials and tribulations and problems, you get angry, you get frustrated, and you get bitter with people, and sometimes you do everything selfishly to do your own way. And once you want to do your own way selfishly, you don't care what you're doing.
True.
You lie, you cheat, you swear, you do anything.
True.
And if you want to hide your sin, you swear. I swear I didn't go there. I swear I didn't do this. And some people, they swear and they think that's nothing. Why? Because they are not studying the Bible.
That's right.
They don't know the Word of God.
Amen.
People swear every minute.
Thank you.
Even though there is no reason to swear, they'll say, I swear. Other day I saw one person, Christian, born again. I swear by God.
Mm.
I said, don't you know we're not supposed to swear?
That's right.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
What this Word of God is saying, let's read that. James chapter 5 verse 12 now. Above all things, my brethren, swear not. This is a command. This is not a request. This is a command. Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and no be no. Lest you fall into what?
Condemnation
means what? Judgment. Judge is at the door. Okay, Matthew chapter 5 and read from verse 34 to 37. Matthew 5, 34 to 37.
But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king.
Amen.
Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black.
Amen.
But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
It's from evil, or it is evil thing. The devil will allow you to do those things. So he says, don't swear by God. Don't swear by even city Jerusalem. Don't swear by your head even, because you cannot make one hair black or white. But we do. But that's a temporarily. You cannot do permanent black hair at all. If you color your hair and don't color for 2 years, it will be gone. Or you have to have a long hair. But the new hair comes, those hair will be white. So what the Word of God is saying, you have no authority over your head. You cannot swear. Let's read one more verse. Matthew chapter 23, verse 16 to 22. 16 to 22.
Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor.
Now see what the foolishness is in. He says, you can swear by the temple, but don't swear by the gold. Now he's giving an example. Go ahead. Go for it.
Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And whosoever shall swear by the altar is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift, or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's very clear that in short, you have no authority to swear by anything. You cannot make anything, not only for yourself, or God, or heaven, or any other things. Why people swear? If you read in the book of Hebrews, go to book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. You can read from 13 if you want, 13 to 17.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath.
Okay. Now somebody will say, here he says God swears and God's promise. Why he cannot allow us to do this? He says people like to swear because they cannot swear for themselves. They swear something greater. God is the greatest.
Amen.
Okay, I want to give one more verse and then come back. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 18.
So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believeth not?
Okay, now here the word of God says, he sware with angrily that these people will not go to the promised land. And why he did it? He wants to prove it that when God says something, he does it. He was telling to the people who do not believe. So the God has authority to do it. We don't have authority over anything. He is the creator of all. Somebody would say, why God make somebody lower and somebody higher? He says, I am the potter. You are the clay. Clay has no authority to tell the potter what kind of pot he should make. He can make the pot for the glory. He can make a pot for the honor. He can make pot for the dishonor. It is up to God. So the God is the only one swears by himself to prove it to people that he is not a liar. Our God doesn't lie. But for the mankind, he says, you don't have to swear. You have to say yes, yes, no, no. More than that is sin. More than that is from evil. More than that is for condemnation. Now, somebody will say, go to the Revelation, book of Revelation chapter 10 verse 6. Somebody would say, if you are a Bible scholar and you read the Bible, they said, angel also swear. So God allows himself to swear, he allows angel to swear, he doesn't allow us to swear. Why is that? Please read. Revelation 10 verse 5 and 6.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever,
Amen.
Who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
Okay, now the angel is sware by God. Now he said, why angel were allowed to do that? Now let me say this way. Angel are the messengers. Angel cannot say anything what God doesn't say. Thus said the Lord means this is the Lord said. So if the angel said it, that means Lord said it. Angel cannot say it himself. Anything angel brings the message, he cannot mix his own thoughts and give you the mixed messages. He can only say what God says.
Amen.
So this is God saying. God is saying, or tell the angel, this is what I say. So he wants to say to the people, time is up. Jesus Christ is coming. The judgment is coming. So what we supposed to do, we supposed to check ourselves. We are not going to say, if God does this, I do. God is a creator. Can you create anything? No. We cannot create a life. We cannot do the what God created things. But we are here to do what God told us to do.
Amen.
We can do everything through Jesus Christ. St. Paul said, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengtheneth me. If you leave Christ out, you cannot do anything. People say, well, I can do without Christ. You can do all evil things without Christ. You don't need a Christ to kill somebody. You don't need a Christ to burn somebody's house. You can do those things. But if you want to do something good, means healings or miracles, you need God.
Amen.
Now, the 12th verse, James chapter 5, verse 12, go back again. Now here we says, we should not be do any kind of oath or any kind of swearing. If you do those things, you are guilty or you will be condemned. Okay, now, after saying this, then verse 13. Please read. James 5:13.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms.
Now, all of a sudden, the subject changed. But now he's trying to say, first of all, you have to be learning, living life for God, no anger, no frustration, no lying, no cheating, and all of these things you do. And when you're doing this, and sometimes you get some kind of problem, he says what? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray.
Yeah.
Afflicted can be a problem. It doesn't have to be sickness or disease. Some people giving you hard time.
Yeah.
Or some kind of problem comes, like a disaster comes, or anything comes and you get into problem. So he said, when this happens, what do you do? Instead of sitting there and complaining, people are saying, what God is doing this? Why these things happening in this world? Why God doesn't watch this Florida or this and that and everywhere? Let me tell you. If you watch the news, certain news told you the truth, some certain news doesn't say anything about religious matters.
Wow.
In Florida and some other places, the newsman went and there is one lady came and the pastor didn't come, she was pastor's wife. And he said, how is your house? Why didn't you move? He said, you know, God is for me. God is watching for us. Where we should go?
Amen.
We are here to chase the hurricane. We have to tell the hurricane, go. We don't have to run because hurricane came. God is watching over our house. Then other lady he interviewed, she also said, you know, instead of running away, we go to God. And God protected their houses.
Amen.
And there was another lady, she had a small house. She said she came from the foreign land and she was living in that house. All the big trees were broken in front of her house and side.
Amen.
And her house was not even touched.
Amen.
She said, how did it do this?
Oh, yeah.
She said, I don't have the hurricane kind of house, not built like the strong house, but I give glory to God.
Amen.
That God protected me.
Amen.
You know, Brother Richard went from here to Florida. Now, I should not say this, but I just wanted to let you know. He sent me $1,200. He could keep that money to protect his house, to buy the, what do you call, plywood or something to board his house. He said he did not do it. And all other people came, hey Richard, why don't you board your house? He said, well, God protected me for last hurricane. The same God is going to protect me.
Amen.
And he didn't do anything. He said, thank God, God protected him up to now.
Amen.
Our God is a good God.
Amen.
When you have time and a problem, what you do? Pray. When Richard started praying, people got the message. This man is not a pastor. He's a believer.
Yes.
He believes in God.
Yes.
He start praying. Neighbors start coming to his house.
Yes.
Start saying, please pray for me.
Hallelujah.
Our God is a good God.
Yes.
So that's what he's saying. When you have affliction, when you have problem, what you do? Pray.
Pray.
Is any happy or married person, what do you do? Let him sing songs or psalms. So when you are happy, what the people say, I'm so happy today. Let's have a party.
Amen.
Let's get a liquor.
Ooh.
Let's get some booze. Or let's some do something because we have party. We are happy. When you are happy, what do you do? Sing unto the Lord. Sing songs. Go to church. I have a church in your house. Invite somebody to your house and say, come on, we want to sing. There are some people, you know, they can have a concert in their house and keep on singing whole night. That's what you do when you're happy. Rejoice in the Lord, the word of God says. St. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord and what? Again I say rejoice. When you are happy, start rejoicing. Verse 14. James 5:14.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now what he's trying to say? Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Now there are some people, when they are sick, they have no elders to call. Why? They don't go to church.
Amen.
You don't go to church. What elder is going to you call for prayer? I guarantee you, if you don't go to church and you call some other pastors in some other church and say, pastor, could you come to my house and pray for me? Very rarely somebody will go to your house if you are not their member. But I have done it. I have gone to some houses even though they are not saved. For example, Richard, small little baby, came after these boys, two big boys, and the baby was small. And he was so happy because two boys after that, a girl came. So he was happy. He called the pastor of his own church. Could you come? Because I have invited people from Florida, people from New York, and we have so many people came here. Could you come and pray for my child? Pastor said, I don't have time. Then one of our church members said, Pastor Peter, this person is not our church member. He wants to bless the baby. Will you go? I said, sure. I went there and prayed for the baby and gave the sermon. So what happened? Richard and whole family left that church, came here, got saved, got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. So the word of God says, is any sick among you? Let him or let her call the elders of the church, means pastor or deacons, call them. Because God has chosen those people to serve you. The pastor's job or elder's job or the deacon's job is to pray for you. Find out what you need. That's why I said, if anybody comes to our church, if the new person never came here before, stand at the door, couple of pastors, stand at the door before they go. Shake their hands and say, what can I do for you? Please write your name and address here and see your request here. We want to help you. We want to see if you are sick, I want to pray for you. Acts chapter 16 verse 31. What it says? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. If your household is not saved, I guarantee you, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, one by one, your family members are there going to get saved.
Amen.
There is nothing impossible with God.
Amen.
God is going to do miracles. But you have to have a church.
True.
Some people, you know, they go to church, to churches, to churches. That's fine. If you go like once a month here and there to somebody invited you. But if you go 3 weeks some church and 1 week to your church or 2 months or 3 months to another church and 1 month to this church or any church, the pastor get confused and you get confused. They don't know what church you member of. So the people are supposed to do, they have to have one church as their home church.
Amen.
The church who prays for you, the church who is thinking about you and praying about you and teaching you and guiding you and leading you and taking care of you, that's your home-based church.
Yeah.
People say, I don't like church. Why? Oh, church is bad. They always tell you, do this, give this, give that. I don't like church. Let me tell you, church and the pastor are supposed to be your father in the Lord.
Amen.
A shepherd in the Lord. He's supposed to help you
yes.
in your time of trouble and time of need.
That's right.
the sorrow, pain, suffering, and sickness and disease. Pastor is the one who can uplift you. Some of the people when I call say, oh, Pastor Peter, thank you for your call. You really made my day. Really, you lift me up, gave me the Bible scripture to live by. That's what the Word of God says. Call the elders of the church and let them pray over you, anointing the person with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what I keep the oil here in the church. I keep oil in my car and I keep oil in my wallet. Wherever I go, oil is with me. In my wallet, in my car, in the podium. So anybody says, please anoint me with oil, I will do it. I would not force somebody, come on, let me anoint you with oil. I don't do that. If somebody says, please anoint me with oil and pray, I will pray. So that's what the Word of God is saying. They will anoint you with oil and pray. Okay, let's read verse 15.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Okay, now this verse sounds so easy. He said, hey, that's good. Call the pastor, let him pray. If I committed sin, it will be forgiven. Everything will be fine. Okay, so the Word of God is saying, say, listen. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, that's a good thing. And the Lord shall raise him up, that's a good thing. And if he has committed sin, they will be forgiven. It's a good thing. Automatically it does? No. Read 16.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another.
This is it. If that person needs a prayer, he has to confess his sins.
Yes.
Automatically sins are not going to be forgiven and automatically person is not going to get healed. But many people even do not ask people to do that. You go to somebody's house and somebody's sick and person says, pray for him. Okay, let me pray. You pray and go. What happened? Nothing happened.
Nothing.
You call me for prayer, you will have some different action. I come to prayer and I ask that person. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. What are you going to do if God heals you? Okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to do things for the Lord. Okay. I don't know why this sickness and disease came, but everything has the reason. Let's pray. I'm going to pray. Ask God to forgive all your sins.
Yeah.
You say, oh, I'm a minister. Here he says, even the minister or no minister, if you want prayer, you ask God to forgive your sins. Without the forgiveness of your sins, the sickness is not going to be healed. Period. This is just like if somebody is praying, if you have a cancer, and I put a band-aid on it, and just say, oh, you'll be all right, go home. You have to go to the root cause. So the same way, if you need a prayer, you go to God and say, Lord, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. And the pastor comes there, and if you angry with the pastor, and if you fought with the pastor, if you have some kind of grudge with the pastor, and he comes to pray with you, it's not going to
work.
It will not work until you say, Pastor, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then pastor has to say, I'm sorry if I hurt your feeling. Once in a while I ask everybody, could you please forgive me? And sometimes I forget. So what I'm trying to say, before we come and take the communion, what do you say? Please forgive us.
Amen.
Judge yourself so you won't be judged. So here the Word of God says, confess your faults one to another. What does it mean? You confess your faults and say, sir, I'm sorry, I committed sin, I made mistake, and this is what I'm suffering. Please forgive me. And Lord, please forgive me. And I was angry at you. And that person is supposed to say, please forgive me too. Let's pray together. So both people's heart will be clean. And the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, two of you what? Agree. Touching anything, you know, your prayer will be answered. One day I was very, very sick. I was not able to lift one little paper. I had a high fever. And my father He's a Pentecostal man. Was a Pentecostal. He is not here. And he had some Pentecostal brother. Not blood brother. He saw somebody in the church. So he said, I'm going to go and get that man to pray for you, so we are going to pray. And I said, what person? He told me the name of the person. I knew that person was not living right. I saw him smoking cigarette. So I was so weak to argue with my dad. I told you I cannot lift up the paper. So I did not want to argue with my dad. Don't go and don't bother. I don't want him to come in to pray for me. But my dad went and bought the man, and he prayed a prayer. But nothing happened. What he's supposed to do according to this verse, he's supposed to say, Brother Peter, I came here to pray for you, but I'm not worthy to pray. I'm smoking. I have a problem. Could you please forgive me? And I ask God to forgive me so you can be healed. That's supposed to be done. But he just prayed a prayer like he's a righteous man and left. Nothing happened to me. Next day, another poor man came. He was very poor. He had something on his head, selling some items in the basket. And he was the member of my church. He came and said, oh, Brother Peter, why are you lying down? I said, I'm having fever. He put that basket down. He said, let's pray. And he started crying himself. And he prayed with the tears. And I prayed with him. As soon as he said amen, I started sweating. And completely fever left. And I got up and I said, Mom, I need something to eat. She said, you have high fever, you cannot eat. I said, Mom, I'm healed. Why I'm saying this? The Word of God says, before you pray for somebody, check your life. And then pray. Don't just pray because somebody told you to pray for somebody. Result will not come. I tell people, we pray to get results. And when we pray, God hears the prayer. Why? Because we do what Word of God says. If I'm guilty, I'm doing something, and if I'm living sin, I'm smoking and I'm drinking and I'm gambling and I'm beating my wife and I'm doing all kinds of things, and I go to pray for somebody, it's not going to work. Amen. God is not going to hear.
That's right.
So the Word of God says, confess your sins to one another that ye may be healed. That's what the healing comes. Then he says, effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Say, righteous man or woman. Anyone, the person who is righteous, his prayer will be answered. Somebody says, I'm not righteous. How can be a righteous? It's very simple. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you confess your sins, he washes you with his precious blood, and he gives his righteousness to you.
Amen.
We do not have our own righteousness. The Word of God says your righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. But we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why in the book of Mark chapter 16, it says, if anyone, a believer, start praying, these signs will follow. They can heal the sick, they can raise the dead, they can speak in tongue, they can do all the miracles. A believer. You don't have to be pastor or deacon, or you don't have to be a Pentecostal brother. Any believer can do. Why? Because it says righteous man's prayer. The righteous man means if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you are washed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God will hear your prayer.
Amen.
When I was a believer, I was not even ordained ministers. I used to go to people's house and pray. And people got healed. Miracles were happening before I came to the Lord. Why? Because I was a believer. And I believe I am a righteousness of God. And God's name, Jesus' name you do, and go, people will get healed and delivered and set free. Even though I was not a servant of God, I was a believer and I was attending every Bible study. I was attending every morning service, every evening service, and every open air meeting. I never missed one day. Just like I told you the other day, since 1956 I'm serving the Lord. I never took one day off. But no sickness, no disease, no pain, no guests coming to my house, or nothing kept me away from the church.
Amen.
So that's what I learned from my childhood. If you are a believer, you go to church.
Amen. That's right.
You study the word.
Yes.
And then God will use you. I did not know that I was going to be a preacher. But when I start doing this and when I start working for the Lord, I got a burden for the ministry. I start praying. Say, Lord, if you give me the Holy Spirit, if you call me, I will give up my job and follow you. The word of God says, harvest is what? Plenty. And the workers are few. He says, pray for what? That God should give more workers. And if everybody start praying like that, who will go? I prayed like this when I read that word. I said, Lord, if there are workers are few, and you say pray, I pray, call me as a servant. I am ready, Lord, and call me if I want to go and serve you. So each and every believer should be saying, send me, Lord. Not I'm going to pray for somebody to go. I want to go. I want to do the Lord's work. Okay, that's the way God is going to hear our prayer. Verse 17, James 5, 17.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
He's trying to give an example. He says, look at Elijah. He was an ordinary man. He prayed and God shut the heaven for 3.5 years. And when he prayed, God opened the heaven and poured the rain again. So he said that Elijah was an ordinary man just like you and me. You could do it. That's what he's trying to say. Each and every believer who believes in God and who believes in Jesus, we can do. We can say, that's what I said a few minutes ago. St. Paul says, I can do what? All things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. We are the children of God. Jesus Christ has promised us in book of John, St. John, chapter 14 and verse 12. What did he say? Please read. St. John, chapter 14, verse 12. I know you know that verse by heart, but I just wanted...
Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
What Jesus Christ is saying, I'm going to my Father. Who will be here working? You will be here working. And if you start working for me, I will give you the greater power. Greater power than what I did in this world. And you will be doing miracles. People are saying, we cannot do greater than Jesus. Jesus is not jealous. If your son is greater than you, you should not be jealous.
Yes.
If your daughter is better than you, you should not be jealous. But there are people, they're jealous about their children. And they kill their children because they're getting famous than them and nobody cares about them. They kill their children. We should be proud of our children. If they're doing better, praise God. I said to somebody, you know, my children, my daughter and my son, they were spelling champions. My daughter was spelling champion in her school, and she did outside also. Philip was spelling champion 3 years in the East Coast. So the man says, wow. I said, you know, my grammar is not that good, but God gave me 2 beautiful children. They can help me. And Philip is helping me. Priscilla helps me. So what I'm trying to say, I'm not jealous. I'm not saying, why did I send these children to college?
Amen.
If I would have kept them home, they would not find fault in my grammar. But I'm happy. Same way Jesus is saying, if you do greater works, Jesus is happy.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He wants us to do more.
Oh, yes.
And somebody will tell you, nobody can do greater than Jesus. Go and read the book of Acts. Peter was just walking and his shadow fell on the sick people and they got healed.
That's right. Amen.
In the Jesus ministry, never his shadow healed anybody.
True. Amen.
Paul took a handkerchief, mm-hmm. put it in his shoulder up in on his body and gave it to people and they got healed and demons were cast out.
Amen.
Jesus didn't do that. So what he said is happening. He said, you can do greater works than me.
Oh, yes.
Jesus never traveled by plane, did he?
Mm-hmm.
We can travel by plane anywhere and start churches all over the world. Jesus was not able to do it. So we are able to do greater than what Jesus did.
Amen.
Because he promised, otherwise he will be lying. Jesus never lies. So he said it, and we have to believe it, and we have to do it. Okay, let's read verse 18. James 5:18.
And he cried again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
The man, ordinary man, stopped the rain, and what happened? Famine came to the land. 3 years, no food, nothing. They might have done everything, dig the, wells, well dried up. Do it in irrigation, bring the water from the river or something. Everything dried up. But the man of God prayed and it took a few seconds. He said to his servant, look at the sky. What do you see? I don't see anything. He says, go back again. 7 times he going back and back. 1 time said, I see a little bit cloud. How much? The palm of our hand. He said, let's run for our life.
Yes.
He said to the king, king, better run. And they ran for their life and rain came. And the word of God says, then the whole earth started giving fruits. Amen. People were happy. So the ordinary person has this much power. Jesus says, I will give you more power than Elijah, more power than Moses, more power than what I did. You can do greater things. It's not an ordinary ministry what we have today.
True.
We have a great ministry.
Amen.
We should take advantage of it.
Yes.
Okay, let's read from James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. We're going to finish it.
Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin.
He's saying, listen, I have given you great responsibility.
Yes, sure.
You are here to bring people back to God.
Yes.
People are going to commit sin. They are going to be backsliders.
Yes.
They are going to fight. They are going to have war. They are going to have all kinds of problems. Sickness and disease. You go. Tell them about their sins. Tell them to repent. And bring them back to God. If you do that, what you're doing, just like you're pulling somebody out of fire.
Yes, sir.
People are saying, hey, why are you telling us? Leave us alone. Tell them, just like your house is in fire, and somebody comes to you and says, your house is in fire, I came to rescue you.
Yes, sir.
If that person will be mad, if that person is mad, he has to be out of his mind.
Sure.
Same way, when we telling others, we are saying, you are in fire. You're going to go to hell. We want to save your life. You are living in this world for 120 years. But in eternity, if you miss it, you will spend eternity in hellfire. I want to rescue you. I want to help you. And that's what the word of God is saying. You help that person coming out of this misery, coming out of sinful life. You are doing great things. Read those verses, 2 verses, one more time. 19 and 20.
Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Amen. Shall we rise?
Amen.
God has given us a great ministry to rescue people from their sinful activities. People should not be saying, we are their enemies, we are their friends. We want to save the souls. We want to heal the sick. We want to deliver people from their afflictions.
Amen.
Our God is a good God. We are going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Lord Jesus, you have given us great responsibility. Let us humble ourselves to win souls for Jesus Christ. Please forgive all our sins. Wash us with your precious blood. Give us grace to live for you. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. Whatever we have, we like to share with your ministry, with you, so you can bless us and many souls will come to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.